Thank you, Craig.
Well, good morning again. I shared in Sunday school this morning that I think one of the hardest things, or I don't know, I shouldn't say that, that kind of narrows it right down, but a hard thing for us to do in 2020 is to realize that we are the same kind of people living in the same kind of, there's nothing new under the sun, living in the same kind of stresses and things of life that the people that we read about in the scriptures were facing. So we look at what happened with them and we put that on them. That's how they were, that was in that time and whatever. And it's so easy for us to fail to put ourselves in their shoes and learn from their actions, good or bad, right or wrong. So today I would like for us to try to imagine that we are a group of people and Jeremiah the prophet is standing in front of us and he says, "Be thou instructed." My message today is the good way, number 5. It's, Lord willing, I believe it's the last one that I'm going to be sharing from this passage. Believe, love, and obey. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord," and this has been our theme verse, we've been talking about the good way. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls, but they said, we will not walk therein." I'd like for you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8, and we're going to read that. And again, this is where I would like for us to try to imagine that we've been called out. We're standing maybe outside, maybe in a synagogue, wherever we're at here. And in Ezra, I believe it is, they talk about where they found the law and they erected a scaffold. They built a platform out in the street so that all the people could hear as the law was read. But let's come with open minds and open hearts to hear what the Lord has for us here today. Jeremiah 6, verse 8. "Be thou instructed, O Calvary Chapel. O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." Verse 11. "Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord." And I think that at about this time, because we see their response in verse 16, but I think at about this time they're all saying, "No, this isn't us. You're making way too big of a deal out of this. God's not going to treat us like that. We're His people after all. You really are saying our houses will be turned unto others with our fields and our wives? I don't believe it." And then verse 13, God gives His reason for that. "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet," we talked about this, I'm not going to cover all of this today, but we talked about covetousness and how much of it is how evaluating our lives, is it a reality in my life? Am I a covetous person and the seriousness of that? "And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. When is the last time that you were ashamed of the abomination you had that you had committed. When you actually thought on your deeds and came to the end of yourself. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, that they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Listen to the warnings. But they said, we will not hearken. What I would like for us to do today, and we're going to look at this a little bit at the end of the message, what I have it on the overhead. But let's change verse 16 and 17 from, and I'm not changing scripture, I'm saying let's change our response. Let's make sure that we, this particular group of people, when God says to us, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where's the good ways, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. And they said, we will walk therein. Also I sent watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And they said, we will hearken. Imagine the difference of this particular group here, going back to the time of Jeremiah. Imagine the difference in their future if that had been their response. God, almost invariably, when He pronounced judgment, also said, but, listen, this is coming, but, if you'll only turn, if you'll only listen, if you'll only come to Me, I am full of mercy. But you must turn. We've been looking at the phrase, believe, love, obey. And today, that's where we're going to focus a little bit. Believe, love, obey. And again, I have this quote from Adam Clark. The testimony borne by the gospel is, believe, love, obey. None of these can subsist without the other. And what he's especially talking about is faith. The tendency to have, to say faith, right belief, is all that really matters. My actions don't really matter. But the gospel says we need to do all three. Believe, love, and obey. The faith of a true believer works by love. This faith and love have not respect to some one commandment. They don't just focus on one. They don't just have respect for one. But to all the commandments. For God writes His whole law on the heart of every genuine Christian and gives him that love which is the fulfilling of the law. Jesus said, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you've fulfilled the law. In Luke 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I mentioned this last time as well. And when the rich man asked that Abraham send someone to go to warn the rich man's brothers. He said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My concern is that we remember the old paths, the good way, the truth that has stood the test of time and will always be the truth in spite of anything we do or say. When he said Moses and the prophets, he was referring to the scriptures that they had available to them at that time, which was not much in comparison to what we have. We not only have the Old Testament, and this would have been Jesus talking, so I don't, the Old Testament would have been there, but I don't know what the rich man Lazarus, I'm not sure when this story actually happened. But Moses and the prophets is referring to the Old Testament. We not only have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament as well, which gives us the life of Christ. They didn't have that. His teachings while he was here as a man. And also the epistles which he inspired his followers to write later. We have more than enough revelation to show us the way to God. But are we content with that? We have Moses and the prophets if we want to hear them, but there's no glamour in that. We can study the scriptures, but it's hard, it's slow, it's painstaking, and sometimes even a little bit boring. We can study the scriptures, but maybe a seminar is more appealing. We can study the scriptures, but a counselor can surely do me more good than that. I could study the scriptures, but I can find a preacher on YouTube and listen to him a lot easier. Besides, I've read them already. Many of them more than once. Surely I need to expand my thinking beyond just what the Bible has to say. I'm not saying there isn't a time for seminars and counselors. I believe they both can be helpful. I believe they both have their place. But that place is always to be subject to the scriptures. What they teach or say to be true must align and agree with what God has said. Today I want to look at some scriptures that show us that. In Acts 17:10, and we probably, most of us know this, most of us have heard of the Bereans. But in Acts 17:10, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They didn't just believe what they heard, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. The others didn't receive the word. They had their minds made up. These received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Paul, we're going to hear you, but we're also going to weigh this against scripture. Therefore, many of them believed, because the scriptures validated what they heard. That's why they believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks and of men, not a few. If you listen and you watch closely, and I've wondered already what to do with all of this, because I as a leader have a responsibility in a certain sense that you don't. We all are to be watching out for each other. I feel like I have a heightened responsibility. Maybe I have my antenna up and out a little more than some. But if you listen and you watch, you start to realize that we have adopted at least some of our views of mankind and some of our views of our fallen nature from psychology and from humanism. Marcus shared this morning about the children of alcoholics being alcoholics. There's some truth in that. There's a pattern there. But the idea that a person is the way he is because of his environment, and I'm going to take it a little further, the idea that he can't help it. And again, Marcus was talking about the grace of God being able to change that. The idea that I am what I am and I can't help it because that's what my dad was, that's what my mom was, that's whatever. That comes from Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology. That was his discovery, his contribution. That you are a product of your environment. Now, again, we all know a godly home is a better environment than an ungodly home. I'm not saying any of that, but we can never excuse sin in my life or the life of someone else because of where they came from. That is from psychology. The Bible says in Genesis 8:21, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Jesus says in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. A number of the Psalms say there is none that does good. No, not one. It doesn't mean that environment doesn't affect us, but neither does environment control us. We have a phrase that I just picked up lately, in between stimulus and reaction. Stimulus is, I poke you. That's a stimulus. Now, there can be an involuntary reaction there where you jump. But I can do something that rubs you the wrong way. I can do something to aggravate you. The difference, where there's more than one difference, but a large difference, a key difference between humans and all other species is that humans have choice. In between stimulus and reaction, there is choice. This happened to me. This is my action. In between there, I choose what that action will be. And man is bent to do evil. Another term or phrase that I hear from time to time is either, you hear it from either side, either that we need to love ourselves, in other words, we don't love ourselves enough, or that someone hates themselves. That is a humanistic concept. The scriptures say in Ephesians 5:29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. If you turn on YouTube and you go and listen to anyone who qualifies as a mega church, virtually anyone, you're going to hear things about how there's good in you. You just need to bring it out. There's all these self-help. You have to think positive. All of these things. It is not scriptural. It is what man has come, or the devil has given to man, to give to man in place of the gospel. And another thing, we are tempted, and I'm going to be speaking in some general terms here. I'm not saying this is how we all are. I'm not saying that this is... Let's think of this. Let's look at this. We are tempted to present the gospel in a way that appeals to man's desire for a better life instead of as a way for a desperate sinner to be delivered from an awful, well-deserved fate. We get to a place where we don't see sinners. I'll say it this way. If we're not careful, we can get to a place where we don't see sinners as rebelling against God. We see them as misguided or mistaken people with good intentions, who would immediately come to God and embrace Christianity if only it was explained to them in the proper terms. If this had not happened, if that person had not offended them, if whatever. They're not that bad, they just are misguided. That is not the gospel and that is not biblical. We also, if we're not careful, start failing to see sinners in the hands of an angry God. Instead, we see wayward people with a teary-eyed father watching on and longing to give them a better life. God is very quick to forgive. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, Christ said. But the scriptures say in Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. And this is where, I'd like for you to turn to Amos chapter 4. Amos is about halfway between Psalms and the New Testament. Amos chapter 4, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Turn to Amos chapter 4. And this is where I feel we have been influenced. We have gone away somewhat from the old paths and the good way. We've gotten a bit used to the darkness. We've gotten a bit unafraid of sin. Amos 4, verse 11. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought. He made the mountains, he makes the wind, and he knows our thoughts. That maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Drop down to chapter 5, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Again, putting ourselves in the place of hearing this fresh and new for the first time. Seek me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. In Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about the fact that at one time he has shaken the earth, but he's going to shake the earth again. And this time, and you get the idea there, that he's taking the earth and turning it upside down and shaking it. And anything that's loose, anything that's not secure, falls away and is destroyed. And then, it says, he's going to burn it with fire. And he says, our God is a consuming fire. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. This is a warning we must hear. And this is, I'm afraid we don't take the idea of truth and deceit. In the end times, there is going to be a great falling away. In the end times, many will be deceived. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And I don't think we take that seriously enough. We go fooling around on YouTube just listening to random preachers just to see what they have to say. Either I'm learning from them or I am completely wasting my time. If I can't learn, if I feel like I'm going to just filter everything that comes through, I'm going to filter it all. This is truth, this is not, this is truth. Well, then I'm not learning anything. We go fooling around on YouTube. We listen to podcasts of people we don't know just to hear what they might say. We need to listen. We need to hear this. Let this sink down into your ears. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. And again, thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is what God has to say. Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And again, I just said don't go fooling around on YouTube. Last night I was on YouTube looking at some of these things, so I know a little bit what I'm talking about. And this preacher that's half preacher, not half preacher, 10% preacher and 90% rock star, is telling the people that there's good in you and there's no mention of sin. There's no mention of repentance. There's no mention of anything wrong. And here it says, they speak a vision of their own hearts. Oh no, verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. That same wicked person that we're saying, don't worry, it's okay. And in our main text, we talk about peace, peace, when there is no peace. They've slightly healed. The anger of the Lord, verse 20, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. And the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. By the way, this preacher I was watching last night actually gave an illustration from a dream that he had. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Make sure you catch that verse. The prophet that hath a dream is the chaff. He that has the word is the wheat. So let me read that again. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, or God said it. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Last time I closed by reading 2 Timothy 3. I'd like for you to turn to that. I'd like to read it again, and this time we're going to read the entire chapter. And again, I feel like this is some very sobering exhortation from the Word of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1. Last time I read the first five verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, don't have self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Folk, let that line be real to you. Honestly evaluate that. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, denying the power thereof, in other words, it does not change their lives. Now let's go on to verse 6. And here he tells us what's going to happen if you don't. It says, from such turn away. If you don't, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This can happen. Now, Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys have made a study of the Scriptures all your life, and they haven't led you to me. You won't come to me. That's what the Scriptures are supposed to direct you to. So we can ever learn of the Scriptures and never come to the knowledge of the truth. But it happens more frequently, I believe, when it's always the latest seminar, the latest weekend retreat, the latest whatever. Always going, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If it's not changing our lives, it's not doing any good. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, as Jannes and Jambres also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came at me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou, here we go with old paths, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That the difference there between reproof and correction, reproof would be to tell you you're wrong. Correction would be to say, and this is right. So you could say it's profitable for doctrine, for stopping you from wrong and setting you in the right. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, or that the man of God may be complete. Throughly furnished unto all good works. We have Moses and the prophets. We have the Scripture. And the man that knows the Scripture and lets them work in his life can be perfect, complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. I was talking with a man a couple of weeks ago about possibly going somewhere for a week of study. And the thought occurred to me, and we discussed it a bit. What if instead of going that far and spending that much, and I don't want you to hear me wrong saying we should never go here teaching from anyone. I, Lord willing, I just signed up for a 2-year course of its mentoring and discipleship and whatever through Faith Builders. I haven't been accepted to that yet, but if I do, that would be gone 2 weekends a year, but the rest of the time would just be over the phone and different things. So I'm not saying we can't and shouldn't learn from others. But what if, instead of going that far and spending that much for that week, what if a man would shut himself in his office? So if I'm going to go, there's an event in Wisconsin. So I'm going to go to Wisconsin for a week. I'm going to get a motel. I'm going to be away from my job. What if instead of that, I were to shut myself in my office for a week with nothing on my schedule but reading the Scripture and seeking God in prayer? We have a hard time seeing that as, well, if I'm home, I ought to be working. If I'm home, I ought to be doing something. Did you work yesterday? No, I took the day off. For what? Bible study. We don't hear that. We don't do that. What might happen? I'd like to call us again to making the Scripture the anchor of our lives. To making them our only standard. In this time of, there's many people, many voices, many people claiming to hear the voice of God, and yet leading in many different directions. I hear someone say that I hear the voice of God and this is where I'm going with it. And I hear someone else say, I've learned to hear the voice of God and this is what He's saying to me. We must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul had been instructing Timothy concerning the pursuit of riches and worldly possessions, worldly entanglements. And in verse 11, he says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. The good way is still the only way. We cannot make new paths for men to come to God. We still must see ourselves and all mankind as willful sinners, regardless of our life experience. We still must believe, truly believe, that we deserve judgment and the wrath of God. We must be truly sorry and truly repent. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, not to be turned away from. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that His death atoned for us and His resurrection gives us life. We must walk in that new life, take up our cross and follow Christ in love and obedience to God and His Word. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Last time we talked about our money and our time. Where do they go? Where do your money and your time go? There is your treasure. This is the gospel. This is the good way. These are the old paths. Like I said, I want to be careful that I don't give the message that we can just change Scripture. But I would like to take this and make this our response. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read everything that's not yellow. I see that I have the "and they said" in the first one there. That should not be yellow. I'm going to ask you to read this and this. And I also want to be careful. It's kind of hard in a message like this. I'm the preacher. I don't want to stand up here and say, I'm Jeremiah. I've heard from the Lord and you all need to hear from me. I don't want to come across as that. I'm standing with you. So I'll read, and then I'm going to ask you to respond in the parts that are underlined. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And they said, We'll walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And they said, We will hearken. Believe. Love, obey. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each one that's here. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. We acknowledge that. We thank you for that. We bless you. Lord, today we want to acknowledge that your word and your way and your revelation and your ideals are right and good and true. And our inventions and innovations and ideas and ways that we try to improve upon the plan of salvation or upon the Christian walk, that they are not good, that they are not of you. Lord, help each one of us to truly commune with you, to hear and know your voice, and to know the voice of a stranger, to realize, to recognize falsehood. Thank you for each one. I pray your guidance, your love, your blessing on each one according to your will. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would do a miracle. You'd do a work in their heart. They could know you as Father, as friend. Bless you. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.